Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Drawing Near to God Through Fasting.
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about drawing near to God by a fast. Can we actually draw near to God by fasting, by actually not eating food for a time? Can you draw closer to Him? Can you experience Him more powerfully in your life? See His mighty hand at work in your life in amazing ways that you didn't see before if we draw near to Him by a fast? Well, today, let's take a look at that and see what God teaches us about it in His Word. What is fasting? What is the purpose of it? What's it for? How do we do it? What's it all about? Does God expect us to do it? What does His Word teach us? And what great and secret blessings might there be hidden in it for us, for you and me, if we would draw near to God by a fast? Let's see what God teaches us about that today in His Word for our encouragement in Christ and to see His mighty hand at work in your life to set you free, perhaps from things that you haven't been set free from before, for a powerful life with God. So, first of all, just understand, what is fasting? Let me give you a definition. Fasting is going without food or certain types of food for a certain amount of time for spiritual purposes. All right, so it's going without food or certain types of food for a certain amount of time for a spiritual purpose. So it's not a diet. This isn't, you know, Weight Watchers. This isn't Slim Fast. This isn't, you know, have a little protein shake and slip off a few pounds. This is for a spiritual purpose, for strength, for greater nourishment with the Lord, for power in your life. You can fast in different ways. There's, not eating any food or having water. We see Moses did that in the Bible. There's fasting just from food, but yes, drinking water or maybe juices. There is fasting like Daniel did. Remember, Daniel's fast was from only certain types of foods. He was still eating foods, but he avoided the special delicacies for a period of 3 weeks or so. So there's different types of fasts, and there's different lengths. You know, Jesus fasted 40 days. That's a long one. How would you even survive? But he did. But then there's also fast where you just skip one meal. Could you skip one meal? Well, do you actually want to fast? Now, do you like this sermon so far? Most people, it's like, oh, fasting, I don't want to hear about that. I love food. Why would I want to hear about this? Why would I want to do such a thing? I'm not even listening. Well, listen up. This isn't Weight Watchers. This is about putting on muscle and meat and strength in your life with the Lord, drawing close to Him. You know, this isn't about starving. You're not going to die. In fact, it's even physically good for you in a lot of ways. I feel when I don't eat, actually, I have more energy and I'm sharper. So, you know, if I'm up here and I'm going, whoo, I probably had a big breakfast. So, it actually has physical blessings. But remember, we're doing this for spiritual purposes, for greater strength, for might, for power, for intimacy, for strength with the Lord, for more wonders to be seen in your life, for you to actually be greater and better than you are or ever have been even today. So it's a good thing. Let's talk next, though, on God. Does He actually want you to fast? Is this the will of your Father in heaven? Well, you know, there's no command to do it in the New Testament. There's no requirement. You're not forced to do it. You're at liberty not to. And yet, we see in the Scriptures, God certainly seems to expect that we will, at times, not always, but at times, fast to draw close to Him. Let's take a look at that in the Bible. For example, let's look at Luke chapter 5. Let's see what Jesus says. He says in verse 33, it says the Pharisees and the scribes, always against Jesus, they challenged them. They said, the disciples of John, they fast often and offer prayers. So did the disciples of the Pharisees. But yours, eat and drink. And Jesus answered, can you make the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. So they will fast, not like they maybe, might, possibly, but they will. So it sounds like Jesus expects us to fast at times in our lives to draw close to him when he's taken away, gone up to heaven. Look over at Matthew 6, verse 16 as well. Jesus says and teaches, and when you fast, did it say if you fast or when?
When,
thank you. Do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by men, but by your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Does that sound like an encouragement to you? When he sees you do this, God does, when it's just between you and him and nobody else knows, but you know and he knows, he says, I will reward you for this. That's pretty encouraging, and God certainly seems to expect us to do it. He doesn't force us to do it, but he encourages us to do it, and he says there's a reward for this. So how should we fast? We already said you can do it from different time periods, different types of what you fast from. Is God pleased with you, by the way? Ginny, let me ask you. Is God pleased with you when you don't eat a cheeseburger for him?
I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you. Honest answer. I appreciate that. Let me tell you, in the Bible, God doesn't care about whether you eat or whether you drink. Okay? It doesn't make any difference to him. Food's not going to commend you to God. Let's read that. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 8, food will not commend us to God. We're no worse off if we don't eat, and we're no better off if we do. Speaking in a slightly different context, but the point is food, eating it or not eating it, isn't going to, God's going to not be like, oh, wow, they're not eating cheeseburgers. Boy, I love these people. It's not what it's about. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, says Paul, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So what's the big deal then about not eating food? Why would God be pleased with that? Answer is because we do it for the right reasons for our hearts, for our soul. Fasting helps you to draw near to the Lord. How? Well, we got to do it for the right reasons. Let me give you four quick ones. Number one, the reason we fast and not eat is to humble ourselves before the Lord. Do you think God would draw near to you, Vivian, if you humbled yourself? Absolutely. Well, fasting helps with that. David says in Psalm 69 of the Bible, he says, I humbled my soul with fasting. I made sackcloth my covering. So what was it? Corrine, I'm calling on you. What was it that David humbled? Was it his body? Kind of, but I humbled my soul, thank you, with fasting. So fasting helps to bring our soul low that we might then have God draw near because he loves a humble heart. It's a great way to do it. For God says in Psalm 18, the haughty eyes God brings down, but he delivers a humble people. But in Psalm 138, though the Lord is high, way up there, he regards the lowly, but the prideful he knows from afar. So if you're proud and arrogant, God's going to be at a great distance from you. But if you humble yourself, get really low, he comes running to you. He loves humility. Fasting from food is a way to humble our souls that God draws, therefore, all the nearer to us. For Jesus told this parable, remember? It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, quite arrogantly, I'll add, God, I thank you that I'm not like these other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. He was very proud of it. Yep, I don't eat for you, Lord. I give tithes of all I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, at a distance, note, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. He was far off, but in his humility, God drew near to him and said, you're justified. Love it. See that? So one reason to fast is to humble your soul, to bring you low. It helps to go low before the Lord. The prideful he knows from afar, but God is close to the lowly. Second reason to fast, if you so choose to do, is to use it to help, well, express repentance over your sins. Because in the Bible, fasting and repenting are closely tied. Putting on sackcloth, sitting in ashes, that kind of thing. Does God actually take note of such a thing if you put aside food, showing that I'm repenting, turning to you, God, grieving over my sins, seeking mercy? Would God take note of such a thing? Check out the most wicked king there was, Ahab, in Israel. 1 Kings 21 says, Ahab met Elijah, the prophet, right? And he said to him, have you found me, O my enemy? Elijah answered him, I have found you, because you've sold yourself to do what was evil in the sight of the Lord. What did he do? He just conspired and murdered a man to get his vineyard, to get a couple of grapes. Well, God said to him then, behold, I bring evil upon you, Ahab. I'll utterly sweep you away and will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free in Israel. We read then that when Ahab heard these words, he rent his clothes. He put sackcloth upon his flesh and he fasted, say fasted, and lay in sackcloth and went about dejectedly. What does God do in response to that? Let him rot. No. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite saying, have you seen how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. But in his son's days, I will bring the evil upon his house. So this guy wasn't even saved, but because he humbled himself by fasting, God spared him. God saw it and took note. He humbled himself by a fast. Now that's for a wicked guy. You're saved Christians. How much more will God comfort, restore, and renew you if you use fasting as a way to repent over your sins? My, will he highly exalt and quickly forgive you and set you in jewels on high. So, secondly, draw near to God in repentance. Maybe you have some sins you could find in your life. Fast and say, God, I'm grieving and I'm showing you my grievance here through this. Maybe just skip a meal, just one meal, and do that. See what he does. Thirdly, is we fast really just to spend concentrated time on the Lord. Let me say something. I don't know if you know this or not. Maybe you do, but eating, that's pretty much all we do. Okay? Eating eats up our time, consumes our lives, devours like our entire day. If you think of it, you get up and you, what should I have for breakfast? Then you make breakfast, then you eat breakfast, then you clean up from breakfast, then you have a snack and you're like, what should I have for lunch? And then you prepare lunch and then you eat lunch and then you clean up from lunch. What should I have? A snack. And then what should I have for dinner? And then I prepare dinner and I eat dinner and I clean up from dinner. And then what should I have for dessert? We spend our entire day doing this. What if you set aside one day and said, no, this day is for the Lord and I'm going to set aside, sweep all that away. You are so free. Let me just say, it liberates you. Your life will be rich. You're going to be like, I have so much time to just concentrate on my God and draw near to him. And God says, if you do that, I'll draw near to you. It's a great way to just zero in our focus on the Lord. And God loves that. If you zero in on him, man, is he going to zero in on you and draw near to bless you and reward you, free you up by fasting here. And fourthly, last of that, is to fast in order to praise God. Do you think you could praise God by not eating for a short period of time? You know, that is showing to God that he's number one in your life and not food. OK, Can food be an idol? The God of the belly is public enemy number one, basically, in the Bible. Let's consider that for just a moment. The God of the belly that we have to destroy. Remember, Satan came against Eve in the Garden of Eden. What did he tempt her with? Food. Go after the God of the belly. Eat. And she chose food over God, and because she did so, she followed the God of the belly, as did Adam, and down they went. Consider Esau in the Bible. Remember Jacob and Esau, and he's that great manly, mighty hunter, and Jacob's just, you know, kind of a girly man hanging out, doing the food. That's the way, I mean, the old school way of looking at it. Sorry. Okay, we live in the modern times. Men can cook too, okay? But he's out there hunting. He's out there hunting. He comes and he's totally famished. Jacob basically says, I'll give you this little porridge, this pot of stew, if you sell your birthright to me. And Esau was so famished, he says, yeah, whatever. What's that use for me? Give me the soup. And he gets the bowl of pottage or whatever it was, soup, and he sells his birthrights for a single meal. Who did he follow? The God of the belly. See how it's so destructive? Remember Israel in the wilderness? On their way from Egypt to the promised land, some of the people had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt for the nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. You know, you think that they were Italians. Sorry, Italians. But they wanted onions and garlic and were willing to forsake the Lord for food. And that's why God was so angry with them. Because they said, all we have is this manna to look at. So the God of the belly conquered them. But if you go to God by a fast and say, God, I'm setting aside food. Why? To exhibit to you that you are number one in my life and not the God of the belly. Do you think God's going to be pleased with that? He's going to be like, I love these people. Look at that. They're showing me that I'm number one, not the God of the belly. Isn't that what Jesus did when he went into the wilderness? And Satan came to tempt him. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus conquered the God of the belly, where all previous to him had been conquered. So Jesus conquered, and we see he returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. So God is going to be so pleased with us, not because he cares whether you eat or not, but he cares for your heart. He cares that you say, God, you're number one in my life. And if you say, God, you're number one in my life, God's going to say, watch what I'll do for you and how close I come. So you humble yourself, number one. Number two, repent if necessary. Number three, zero in on God, free your life up. Number four, praise God. Do you think God's going to see you do all these things for the right reasons and go like, nah, I'm not going to draw near to him today. Don't feel like it. Or is he going to be like, wow, here I come. I'm running to you because I see your heart is seeking me in truth. So is there really power in this, though, do you think? Do you think God is really going to work mightily in your life? Let me give you some examples for encouragement. How about, we read a few moments ago, Nineveh. These guys were wicked. These were horrible people. And God was going to smite them. And he sent Jonah into the city, and he starts preaching. He says, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And what did the people of Nineveh do when they heard that? They believed God, and they proclaimed a fast. Say the word fast.
Fast.
And they put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least. Then tidings reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes, and he made proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Even you're covering the cows with sackcloth. They're not eating or drinking either. Let them cry mightily to God,
Yea, let everyone turn from his evil way, from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows whether God may yet repent and turn from his fierce anger, and we perish not. What did God do in this case? Well, when God saw what they did, how they repented and turned from their evil way, God turned from the evil which he said he would do to them, and he didn't do it. Spare the entire city. Is there power in a fast? Say amen. Amen. If you believe it. Deliverance from judgment to come. They got saved. How about this one? Deliverance from enemies. Do you have some enemies you need to be set free from? Could a fast help? Remember, Esther in the Bible, remember, Haman had a plot to exterminate all the Jews on a certain day. I mean, they're all going to be wiped out. It's a field day, like shooting pigeons. Take out the Jews. And Esther had to go to the king. But if you go to the king and you're not invited, you could perish. He could kill you if you don't come invited. But she had to go anyway to let him know about this stuff. And she said to her, to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast, say fast, on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. Could you do that? I and my maids also will fast as you do. Then I'll go to the king, though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. How did that turn out? Well, Esther appears to the king. The king is pleased, holds out his royal scepter. She says, Haman has plotted against my people. God overturns the tables. Haman goes down. Mordecai goes up. And the whole thing was routed and set right through the fast. That's pretty good. Pretty powerful. Do you need victory in war? Jehoshaphat was surrounded by enemy armies one time, so many you couldn't even count them. A great multitude's coming against you, O king, from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they're in Hazon Tamar. Now, that doesn't mean much to us, but let's just say there's 10,000 people coming to exterminate and slay you right now, and they're on Merritt Island, and they're marching over the bridge. Well, what does Jehoshaphat do? He feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea, Judah. They fasted, and then God just came in and basically slammed the enemy for them. All they had to go is go lick up the spoil and take home the prizes of war. Didn't even have to lift a sword against them. That came about by a fast. Are you between a rock and a hard place? Not getting anywhere? At an impasse? Hannah was at an impasse. I can't conceive a child. And I'm bearing great reproach. I can't conceive. So she went in and wept bitterly at the temple of the Lord. And Eli saw her and said, you're drunk, woman. You're drunk. She said, no more, Lord, I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, fasting, by the way, and I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Eli said, go and may the God of Israel grant your petition. She was praying for a child and to conceive. We read, then Hannah went her way and ate. If she ate then, that means she wasn't eating before. This was a fast in her prayer, and her countenance was no longer sad. And you know the story. She had the power to conceive, and she had a son, Samuel, one of the greatest men of the earth before the Lord. So if you need to get past an impasse, maybe a fast would help. And then also we see guidance and directions from the Holy Spirit. If you need direction in your life, it was while the church was fasting. They were fasting before the Lord at Antioch that the Holy Spirit then spoke and said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So do you need guidance, insight, understanding, an arrow pointing the way? Maybe God might be stirred up when you seek him by a fast. And how about this one? Deliverance from evil spirits. Does anybody have any real trouble in spiritual realms that are coming against you that you haven't been able to get rid of in days gone by? It just won't come out by a get out, oh evil spirit. Well, the Bible says that there are certain spirits you can cast out by a word. But there are other ones, those are the corporals, those are the little peons. But there are certain evil spirits that are generals and captains. And then Jesus met one of those with a boy that was convulsed and cried out. And the spirit threw him on the ground. And he was yelling and Jesus said, come out you dumb and deaf spirit. And it came out. Jesus lifted up the boy, took him by the hand, and he arose. And the disciples said, but why couldn't we cast it out? We tried. We spoke to it. Jesus says, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. And some ancient manuscripts add, and fasting. If you want to get rid of a general, and if you want to get rid of a captain, it might not just be a word that gets about. It might be prayer with a fast. And by that, it'll make him run. And so consider that. Finally, I'll say this. Think about this. Your salvation, going from death to eternal life in Jesus Christ, took place in the midst of a fast. What do I mean by that? Well, Jesus gave the Last Supper, the last time he ate. He says, I tell you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. No more food, no more drink, I'm going to the cross. That was a fast. The last thing he said on the cross was, I thirst, and it is finished. It was finished. In the midst of a fast, Jesus conquered Satan, conquered the god of the belly, set you free, sets you at liberty, gave you eternal life 100% by grace. And he says, now go out and proclaim this to the people, that those who are thirsting for salvation, those who are hungering for eternal life, may their thirst may be quenched and their hunger satisfied in me. Come to me. I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never again thirst. And your thirst has been quenched. Your desires of your heart and hunger has been satisfied in Jesus Christ for eternal life and salvation in him. So I want to ask in conclusion, are you hungry enough, though, to continue to draw near to God by a fast in your life? Nourishing that relationship. A spiritual fast aside from physical food for a time to draw near to him. Because God says, if you do it with your heart for the right reasons, it's powerful. When you fast, Jesus says, anoint your head and wash your face that your fasting may not be seen by men, but by your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Drawing Near to God Through Fasting, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday, and we're covering the book of Romans during Lent. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at christlutheranchurch.capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week. In our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, God bless you.